All right. Well, welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining us here today. We are in Luke chapter 4, as you've just heard Tess read our passage for today. So if you have your Bible, feel free to grab it and open it up. We're going to dive once again into chapter 4. We've been in chapter 4 for a number of weeks, so we paused for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, but we're back in it. We're back in Luke chapter 4. Hey, if you're new to Christianity, I'd love to welcome you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're on a journey as we're exploring more and more about Jesus' life. We pop in and out of different series that we do. But when we're not in a particular series, we're in the Gospel of Luke. And so on occasion, we want to focus on different kind of focused areas on what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus or a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. But then when we're not in those series, we want to just spend our time in the life of Jesus. And I think it's important as we follow Jesus to be anchored in his story and in his teachings. And so today we are going to be exploring this story about Jesus having authority over the powers of evil. Over the powers of evil. And today, in today's passage, as you've just heard it read, a demon asks Jesus, "Have you come here to destroy us?" And the answer is yes. 1 John 3:8 says this, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And with that great hope, let's pray today. Would you join me in prayer? Holy God, we come to you and we thank you, Jesus, that you are victorious over the powers of darkness. And Jesus, today we would ask that you would teach us to see the world the way you see the world. Lord, we've got a lot of categories swirling around in our own mind about what evil is or what darkness is. And Lord, we want to listen to you, Jesus. We want to hear your heart, because we know ultimately your heart is to set people free. And Lord, as we've already been praying today earlier here at the church, before this live stream started, our prayer teams have been praying that you would set us free. Set us free from those things that have chained us, that have made us slaves. Lord, we would ask in your mercy that you would come set your children free. We thank you, we trust you, we love you. Open up our eyes to your truth, to the power of your love, and to the gift of your life. We pray this in your name. Amen. So in today's secularism, this idea of the demonic is ridiculous. It seems ridiculous in our mind. Like, evil, sin, really? So, you know, spiritual beings that come to deceive humanity? Have we moved beyond that as a culture? We have inherited a materialistic way of viewing the universe. Materialism, in the philosophical sense, is the doctrine that nothing else exists in the world except for matter, except for the things that you can see and touch. Matter is all there is. That's the world that you and I have inherited here in the West. But today I want us to slow down, and I want us to, as I prayed a minute ago, see the world the way Jesus saw the world. When Jesus describes the world to his followers, he's clear that there are these spiritual beings that are set on working against God's good purposes in the world. I want to say that again. Whatever these dark spiritual beings are, their goal is to work against God's good purposes in the world. And so I want to see the world the way Jesus sees the world, and I want to trust Jesus here today. So I'm going to lay aside my materialistic way of viewing the world in the secular age that we're in, and I'm going to try to see the world the way Jesus sees it. So we come to him, we trust him, so let's open the text and let's listen to this story. Let's dive into the story that you've heard read a few minutes ago. So Luke 4, 31 to 32. Then he, that's Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. His words had authority. Okay, so Jesus here, as he teaches, he's in Capernaum. Capernaum is on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. This is quite far north from the city of Jerusalem. He's up in the area where he grew up, in the area of Galilee. And Capernaum is a town. It was a popular fishing village. Probably about 1,000 to 1,500 people lived in the fishing village. And this would be Jesus' center of operations. This would be where he would call it home base. And so a lot of the things we see in the New Testament, the miracles that happened, his teachings, happened in and around Capernaum. And so he's here in Capernaum, and something powerful happens, right? He's about to set a man free. But I want you to notice this word, what the people say about him. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the Greek, that word is exousia, exousia. And later on in the passage, you're going to hear about authority again. I want to frame this whole story for you, that it starts with authority and it ends with authority. Everything we're going to see today is about the authority that Jesus has over the darkness. Watch his power. His power, he will use his power and authority, not to just have power and authority like some, like the kings of the world, but he will use his power and authority for the good of the other. So, verses 33 and 34. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, just for a second, listen to what the demon is saying. The demon is saying, "Go away. I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Listen to this dark spirit confessed perfect theology. Listen to the demon. The demon actually has perfect theology. The demon is a good theologian. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19, James, the follower of Jesus, says this. He says, "You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." See, good theology or perfect theology or biblical knowledge doesn't mean that you are a Christian or that you trust Jesus with your life. Many in the world know a lot about the Bible. It doesn't mean that they're actually following Jesus. And so that's why for us, North Langley, a little rabbit trail here, is that apprenticeship to Jesus is so important. Because what we're saying is it's not just about head knowledge or what I know to be true, you know, biblical jeopardy or something like that. It's actually about following Jesus with all of my life. And so I want to know how to love him in worship, in prayer, in care for creation, in love of my neighbor, in acts of justice, and how I give to others. And so this is a whole life discipleship thing, this journey that we're on as a church. But I just want to highlight how even a demon is a good theologian in this passage. Because notice the demon's confession. The demon confesses that Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One of God. Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One of God. Here the demon is actually making the ancient confession of the church that Jesus is true God and true man. That Jesus is true God and true man. Jesus of Nazareth, Holy One of God. And then the demon asks, "Have you come to destroy us?" Yes, the answer is yes. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. I want to take a minute and explain how Jesus does this. At the cross, when Jesus dies, he takes upon his own life, he takes the full brunt of the dark powers of evil. And when he dies, he puts all of their powers to death. Listen to Colossians 2:15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, that's Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. See, at the cross, some of you maybe have heard the term Christus Victor. It means that Christ is victorious over the dark powers of the world. And so here, Jesus is teaching a few years before he goes to the cross. But the cross is the climax of our faith as we watch Jesus literally take into his own body everything that the darkness could possibly do. And by doing them in some amazing judo move, he actually flips it around and triumphs over the darkness itself. Rising again 3 days later, he defeats death itself. Jesus will be victorious over all the darkness and all the dark powers of the world. In the words of Luke 11, Jesus' own words, Jesus is the stronger man. Jesus is the stronger man. Jesus tells the story about a strong man who kind of takes control of a house, and he says, you can't get control of that house unless a stronger man comes and defeats that man. And this is a parable about Jesus' own work. Jesus is the stronger man that moves into your life and my life with great authority and power. He moves into our lives as the stronger man and sends the enemy of our souls running. Again, the demon asks, have you come to destroy us? Yes. Verse 35. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. Exousia. This is an exorcism. This is Jesus using his authority for the good of this man who had been trapped. He's a slave to this dark power. And Jesus comes and says, come out of him. Jesus' entire life was this bold declaration, let my people go. Echoing the words of Moses, let my people go. Or echoing God's words spoken through Moses, right, to the Pharaoh, freedom. Let my people go. Jesus says to the demon, come out of him. Freedom from all forms of slavery. In the words of Bruce Coburn, Jesus is going to kick at the darkness till it bleeds daylight. Jesus kicks at the darkness until it bleeds daylight. Verse 36 and 37, all the people were amazed and said to each other, what words these are. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him. They obey him. They're not stronger. He's the stronger man. And the news spreads about Jesus, and it goes viral. And all kinds of villages around Capernaum are beginning to hear that there is one who has authority even over the demonic. Remember Jesus announcing his mission? If you were with us a few weeks ago, we spent 2 weeks listening to Jesus' mission statement from Isaiah 61. Jesus has come to announce the year of Jubilee, the year of freedom, the age of freedom, the age of life. And in the language of Isaiah 61, here he is come to proclaim good news to the poor and freedom to the prisoners and sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free. And what does Luke do? Luke, as he writes the story of Jesus, he shows this first example of what that looks like. Jesus came and set this man free. Year of Jubilee. Okay. How does this work in our life? So this is the story. This is the story that we've heard. But how does this work in your life and in my life? How does somebody get to this point in their life where this dark spirit would have so consumed them? That this dark spirit has so taken over their entire life? Like, how do you get to this point? Well, I want to start by asking this question. Who or what have you opened up your life to? Or who or what have you handed over authority to? I want, just as an image, we use this expression of handing over the keys of the car or handing over the keys to your home, right? In the sense of you're giving someone authority in your life, or you're giving someone access in your life to something that's precious to you. So there's a trust there. You've entrusted something to them. And so who has the keys to your heart, to your mind, to your will, to your emotions, to your habits, to your relationships? Have you handed over the authority of your life to someone or to something else? Now, I think that this kind of thing, when it comes to the dark powers, and by the way, I'm sure you have tons of questions. We're going to hopefully get into some of these here in a second. But I think that handing over the authority that only belongs to Jesus in our life, the handing over some of our life can happen directly or indirectly. And I want to explain that. When it comes to dark powers or the demonic, it can happen directly or indirectly. So briefly directly, and I'll spend most of my time with the indirectly side of things. So directly, has there been a time in your life, many of us have experienced this, where we have opened up our life to other spirits? Directly, in a direct way. One way to figure that out is to look at our own personal involvement in things like the occult, or things like card reading, palm reading, Ouija boards, horoscopes, etc. One way I think that's a little bit more helpful to ask is a bit of a general question. Have you or I opened up our life in a supernatural way to anything that excluded the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, that was not of God? Have you opened up your life in some kind of supernatural way to something? If so, it's a very simple game plan that we have as Christians. We, first of all, we are reminded that those practices actually do open up some deep place within our heart to something that is going to seek to do us harm. So first of all, we need to acknowledge that. Secondly, we can turn away from that. Very simple, through the process of repentance and confession. So we maybe get rid of that stuff in our life, and we confess our involvement in those things to a Christian friend, to someone in your life who loves Jesus, who's willing to pray for you. And you spend some time confessing that to the Lord, and asking for him now to come to move into your life, the stronger man, to set you free from any kind of like weird connections that you have to any of that dark stuff. And Jesus comes into your life as the stronger man to set you free. And you just say, come, Lord Jesus, come, move into my life. I'm sorry for that. I repent of that. I turn away from that. And I want all authority of my life to go to you. Okay, so that's directly, and just so you know, we have an amazing course here at the church called Freedom Session, and Freedom Session will help walk through some of those steps to finding freedom from those things. And so it begins in the fall. You're welcome to take that course here at the church. Also, we have an incredible prayer team, an amazing prayer team, prayer@nlcc.ca, and I was just praying with them before the service. They would love to pray with you for freedom from anything like that, that you turn away from it. And I would love to see that happen in our life groups. I'd love to see that happen in our apprentice groups. I'd love to see Christian friendships throughout this week praying for one another to see some freedom happen. So directly. Now I want to talk about indirectly. Sometimes we give authority in our life over to certain dark things in an indirect way. And I want to explain that. It's going to take me a little bit more time to do this one. What does it look like to hand over authority to the dark spirits in an indirect way? Well, remember, just go back to this man in the passage. He is a slave to this dark power. And you need to know that the enemy of our soul is in the business of slavery. He's in the business of human trafficking, as it were, in the spiritual realm. IJM, the International Justice Mission, describes how people become slaves today. And they describe it, it's very helpful to understand how people in the world actually become slaves, because it makes sense in the spiritual realm. And so they talk about false debts. I find this helpful, false debts. What happens, and this is horrific, like a slave owner will lure maybe a poor person into slavery by offering a small advance payment for their labor. And IJM has said sometimes they've documented advance payments as low as $20. So some slave owner will come to an unsuspecting poor person and say, hey, here's $20, come work for me. Now, this instantly, that $20 or whatever the number is, helps that family, right? They've got some debts to pay, so they're able to use some of that money to pay some debts off. And they go to work for this slave owner. They don't realize it's a slave master, but they go to work for this employer. But then that owner begins to make it impossible for this person to ever pay back that advance payment. And so they charge all kinds of interest on top of it. They inflate the debt that's owed to these exorbitant interest charges. And the slave is never able to pay back the debt. And so what happens? The master has a slave. And it all started with one just advance payment. It's a false debt. Now, I think this really mirrors or works well with the biblical story that we find in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis 3, you'll remember that what is the father of lies, the serpent, the enemy, what does he do? He offers an advance payment, right? Hey, your eyes are going to be open. Take the fruit. Your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. See, the journey to slavery begins with this promise of freedom, and that freedom always tastes good at the beginning. The first bite, you know, always tastes good. And what we do, and what Adam and Eve did, is they handed over some deep part of their soul, the authority, to the serpent, and said, all right, I trust you. I trust you. I like the way Canadian psychologist John White says it. He talks about having one free choice, that we as humans have one free choice in life. And the question is, who will we serve? Like Bob Dylan's words, everyone's got to serve somebody. So who will we serve? We've got a choice to make. And when we make the choice, North Langley, when we make the choice, then we give authority over to certain things in life. And slowly those things begin to control us, to take over. And I want to just say, there's no math equation here. Like, some of the things that we give authority over, in many ways, are good and beautiful things, right? But the journey of a disciple of Jesus is to watch, in what ways have I given the deep authority over to certain things that are beginning to take control of our life? Giving myself over to something that slowly I begin to find that I am no longer in control. This thing is starting to control me. The interest that it's charging. I'm growing in this debt that just seems to accumulate. I can never work this off. This thing is taking over my life. It's Genesis chapter 3. It's IJM's words for false debts. One free choice. I love how Nikki White's a leader here at our church. She's a leader on our prayer team. I'm going to quote her because I thought she summarized it really well. She says this. She says, we are offered one truly free choice, a choice of masters. If we turn away from God, we may think that we are choosing self-determination, but we're actually turning ourselves over to the malignant ruler of a broken world. Under his thumb, we lose our freedom, including the freedom to think our own thoughts clearly. For he's a cruel and vicious taskmaster, intent upon the destruction of our souls. It is only when we yield ourselves to a good and wise Father that we find true freedom. I think that's so helpful, right? That there are masters that want authority in our life. And right now, North Langley, if you could just begin to think of what name would you give to some of the masters that would seek authority in your life? Have you and I given ourselves over to something and we've taken the fruit or we've received the false debt and now it has begun to consume us and to control us? Let me give some examples. So sometimes bitterness can taste good at the start. I'm just using bitterness as an example. Oddly enough, bitter, but it actually tastes good at the beginning. To nurse the grudge. But slowly as time goes on, if I don't find that I'm giving that over to the authority of Jesus, it begins to take an authority over me. The bitterness begins to consume me so that it inhabits all of my thinking. It starts to influence decisions that I'm making in life. And I become consumed by that darkness. I'm not going to go through a lot of examples, but you place your own master there. Some of the examples we often bring up as a church are things like pornography and things like alcohol or things like dreaming of revenge, right? The dreams of revenge. Maybe it's an unhealthy obsession with a body that looks a certain way or a certain amount of connection or flirtation with somebody who's not our spouse, or the unhealthy rhythms of how I'm using my money, or the way in which I use sarcasm in a conversation, or the anger of my heart. Like, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but we give this authority over to these things and their false debts. In my own life, I see this at work when it comes to things like lust and bitterness and the comparison game. Like I see that these things seek to have a spiritual authority over my life. Now, you say, those are just things, but here's the deal. Let's enter in the biblical world. I want you to see Ephesians 6:12. Listen to these words. Paul writes this. He says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of a dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And so, by the way, again, I'm not going to be able to provide you a perfect chart and a mathematical equation for how this works. All I'm saying is that when I give myself over to bitterness, let's say, or the comparison game, or the lust of the heart, or you know, whatever it is, that Paul is saying, like, listen, this is not just like your own little battle with this struggle that you have. There is this sense in which there are dark powers that will seek to use that in a dark way. And so this is my point. I've been making one point for quite a while here, but indirectly, we begin to find that the powers of this world begin to consume our life. They take over. And the deeper this goes, we become further and further gone, right? And suddenly the day comes where we don't see it in ourselves anymore, and that's a dangerous day. That's the total level of the narcissist who is completely blind to how oblivious that they actually are to the things that are going on in their life. So this is the man who cheats on his wife and can justify it fully. And I can sit there and listen to all the reasons he's right for making that choice. That is some kind of darkness that has grabbed a hold of that man's heart. And maybe it started innocently, but it took quite the journey, and it consumes him now so that he can't even see it. It's the employee that believes the unethical practice is okay now. It's the person who now justifies the hate that they have for that particular family member, fully justified now. It's the student who cheats for the greater good in their mind. It's the parent who speaks those same identity-crushing words to their children that their parents spoke to them. and we just keep that going. It's the person who in the conversation justifies their lying because they have a deep need to be right, right? How did that happen? You know, I think we hopefully, many of us are given grace moments in our life where we wake up and we go, how did I get here? How did this happen? How are we so deep into our sin that we were consumed to the point where we can't live without it? N.T. Wright says this, when human beings worship that which is not God, they give authority to forces of destruction and malevolence, and those forces gain a power. Just a reminder here in a minute, Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. He wants to pour his love into your life. But really quick, I want to give you an example of how this works. During World War II, there was a pastor named Helmut Thielicke, and he was actually serving as a pastor with the Confessing Church. That's Karl Barth and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and they were pastors who did not side with the Nazis, and they were preaching the truth of God. But I want to give you some words that he spoke in 1944. So this is like, Germany was being bombed. He actually delivered this message in a different city, just so you know, because his own town of Stuttgart had been bombed by the Allies, and so he took his German congregation to another town. But he began to see that his own country, the own political powers in his own country, Hitler and the SS and all this, and Holocaust camps and we're under the forces of the demonic. Listen to Pastor Helmut Thielicke. And he's preaching this in 1944 in Germany. He says, "Dear friends, in our time we have had far too much contact with demonic powers. We have sensed and seen how men and whole movements have been corrupted and controlled by mysterious, abysmal powers, leading them where they had no intention of going." Check that out. They had no intention of going. "We have observed all too often how an alien spirit can ride people and change the very substance of men who before may have been quite decent and reasonable persons, driving them to brutalities, delusions of power, and fits of madness of which they never appeared to be capable before." Helmut Thielicke is just describing what happens when we begin to participate in things and give authority to things and yet then moves in these darker powers. What has a hold on your life? Directly or indirectly? How have you and I opened up the deep places of our soul to something that, if we're honest, has now begun to control us? One quick lesson from Jesus, and then we'll pray. But I want to say this. In Luke 11, Jesus describes the story that I mentioned earlier about the stronger man, right? And he says, hey, there's this house. Imagine your life is like a house, and a demon is cast out. And the house looks really empty and clean now. And Jesus says, then that spirit will roam around and gather seven more demons and come back into this clean house. And you're worse off than you were before. It's like, what is he talking about? What does that story mean? Well, what's the point? Well, the point Jesus is making is just simply freedom from a demon or freedom from the darkness is not the actual end point. It's not the ultimate victory. The ultimate victory, the ultimate joy is to have the stronger man, Jesus, move in to that empty house. It's not just to kick a demon out. It's to allow the beauty and the life and the love and the grace of Jesus to move in. See, something has to take its place. We don't live an empty, tidy little house. Our life is not some tidy little house without a master. No. Jesus is saying if you operate that way, you'll end up worse than you were before. But the goal then is, it's not just freedom from the demonic, but it's freedom to the life of Jesus. We're set free into the life of Jesus. Who's in control? Who's in control of your house? We are set free into being filled with the very presence of Jesus. That's our hope. What does this look like? Well, it looks like apprenticeship to Jesus. It looks like growing in prayer. It looks like love for the truth of the scriptures. What does it look like? It looks like community. Who's the community you have around you? People who will speak truth into your life and love you. What does this look like? It looks like right worship. All of it is to be filled with the life of God. We are set free to be filled with the very presence of Jesus. Good news, 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. And Jesus loves you and he wants to set you free. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to pray, and we're going to pray, deliver us from evil. Jesus teaches us to pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're going to pray right now, but I would encourage you this week to practice confession, to practice receiving prayer, enter into those relationships this week, and have people minister to you, to come around you and pray for you. Jesus, we come to you now as your people, and we bring before you all of these places in our life where we have felt the absolute control that the enemy has grow in our life. Whether directly or indirectly, we need your freedom. We need your authority in our life. And right here as we pray, Lord Jesus, we don't want just freedom from the darkness. We want freedom into your life and love. And so North Langley, would you right now, would you bring to mind, whether it was directly or indirectly, anything that is dark there that you feel like is taking authority in your life? Would you bring it to mind? And right now, would you just take a minute to confess that to Jesus? Be honest. North Langley, as you're honest, just remember the darkness hates the light. And so as you confess, as you are honest before the Lord, the enemy hates that. Just bring it into the light. And Lord Jesus, I bring this church that you love before you. I bring all of us before you. Lord, we come together as your people, and we would ask that you would set us free. Come, Lord Jesus, set your people free. Right now, Lord Jesus, would you cast out the darkness that is deep within our soul? Cast it out. Lord, I pray that we would just sense the power of your own words come out, being spoken over our lives. Would you speak that over us? And would you set us free? Jesus, you're stronger. You're the stronger man. Would you come into our life? North Langley, welcome him in. Welcome him into your life. Would you come into my life, Lord Jesus? Come in and be the stronger man. Defeat the work of the enemy deep in the deep places of my soul. And in all the victory that we see at the cross, would you come in and would you restore me and pour your life into me and pour your life into my friends here today? Lord, would you renew them and restore them and pour just all kinds of freedom from slavery into their life, Lord? And would you move in? And Lord, that we would enjoy the richness of who you are and the richness of your church and the richness of prayer and worship and diving into your word. Lord, we give all authority of our life to you, Lord. We choose you. In our one free choice, we choose you. Would you come and have your way in us? Deliver us from evil, Lord Jesus. Set us free. Come, Holy Spirit, and pour the love of God into the deep places of our life. Lord, Holy Spirit, we know you love to do that. That is your great joy. So right now, would you pour the love of God into those places in our life? And North Langley, if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. One final time. If the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed.